Welcome to the FemNation podcast, where we wholeheartedly believe women entrepreneurs can rise together. Success comes in many flavors. There are no secret strategies. Women entrepreneurs are rewriting history by defining success on their own terms. Hi, I'm White of Gannon, the down-to-earth chick with a different name. Entrepreneur and founder of the Female Entrepreneur Movement, our business is dedicated to helping women start and grow their businesses, increasing financial independence. Each week, join me for inspiring stories and powerful interviews of women entrepreneurs sharing their lessons to success to help you take your business to the next level. Now, let's go for it. Welcome back to the FemNation podcast. Today, I have the owner of Carry Fit, Carrie Harper, with us, and she's going to talk about her entrepreneurial journey, what that looks like, where it started. And thank you, Carrie, for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah. So let me ask you the main question. Where did your entrepreneurial journey start?
Well, it started 25 years ago when my friend almost quite literally dragged me to the fitness center. I was an anti-fitness person up until that point in my life. Thought that, you know, I wasn't athletic. I just had all of these stories running about myself in my head. And she promised me that I would love fitness if I just gave it a chance. So she practically dragged me to a step aerobics class. For those of you that are my age, you remember step aerobics.
And I do.
I walked in the door and started bouncing around on this step, and I was in love completely. And I had found my people. I had found my zone. I had found where I needed to be. I looked at the instructor and said, that's my job. And that's where my mindset started, was just that I wanted to be leading fitness classes in some way. And 6 months later, that was my job. I was teaching at that center. That class, 6 months later, I had set that intention and it happened. And of course, at 19, you don't think about setting intention and it happening, but that's literally what happened.
Right.
And I got an education degree. So then after that, I got a regular job and I was teaching fitness also, and not really connecting the dots that I sort of owned my own brand as a fitness instructor. Just that it was something that I enjoyed and loved, and I started developing a following. I didn't make the connection that it should be a business until 2004. So about 15 years ago was when Carry Fit officially became a business. And I got other licenses and certifications at that point, like my personal training certification and my health coaching certification. And I wanted to dive more into biomechanics, how the body works. And really, it was a thing of service and of honest love for fitness and helping people feel the way that I felt when I went to that step aerobics class, and honestly helping people. And I was teaching class at that time. So I taught, and then I did fitness before and after school and owned this business until 2013. And so now I, you know, just own the business and I'm not teaching school anymore. But that, I guess I sort of turned that road in 2004, recognizing that, yes, this could be a business that I could do, whether part-time or full-time or somewhere in between, that it was something that, that I could do in my own time and serve others in doing that.
What was one of the hardest struggles you overcame on that coming to this point?
So this also became my business. And it's so interesting that you asked me that question, because in 2004, I was pregnant with my first child, and I got my pre and postnatal certification that year. Postpartum life was not what I expected, even with all of the reading that I was doing. I was reading journals until I fell asleep at night. Like, I was reading about everything and thought that I knew what it was going to be for me. Had a baby and I was so wrong. Like, I just pretty much had to throw all of that out the window. My certification didn't prepare me for any of it. In particular, the physical changes and how that impacted my mind and my emotions. I was not prepared for. Mm-hmm. So I actually had a really severe case of diastasis recti. And in 2004, 2005, nobody was talking about that injury. And that injury is a division of the rectus abdominis. So your rectus abdominis goes from your ribs to your hips. It's that wall in the front part of your abdomen and your body. And when it stretches out to its maximum capacity, it can open in the center. Mm-hmm. At that time, nobody was talking about it. I didn't know what I had. All I knew was that I was extremely uncomfortable and that my midsection was not something that I recognized and that I couldn't do the things that I used to be able to do, which really highly confused me. So I asked my doctor, like most people would, right? And so my doctor finally said, "You have the worst case of diastasis recti I've ever seen." And I'm like, "What is that?" Here I am with all these years of experience. I had no idea what that injury was, much less that it really was an injury. And he said, "Well, you know, you're going to have surgery to repair that." So he set that into my mind that that was how I was going to have to recover from the injury. And I had another child, and then I did end up having that surgery, which was the most debilitating thing I've ever gone through in my life. So that summer, my father died. I had that surgery. Recovery from that surgery and my grief was an absolute pit in my life. And I didn't know how I was going to come out the other side. So what I had to do was become my own therapist. And I had to go into all of those years that I had been learning about fitness, nutrition, wellness, yoga, Pilates, how the body works together to rehabilitate myself. And I mean, I literally had to learn how to stand up again, how to walk again, how to do everything again. Mm-hmm. And from there, recovering from that gave me a whole new perception on other people's struggles and recoveries. So it was a miracle in and of itself, even though it was a horrific thing to go through. When I went back to my teaching and my training at my local facility, I started checking people for diastasis recti, and like everybody has it. I mean, at least 60% of the mothers I was testing, no matter when they had their baby, I'm talking grandmothers, brand new moms, didn't matter, had a level of diastasis recti. And they were like, I just thought I was fat. So they had been told from my industry and from the medical industry that they had a weight problem and they actually had an injury and a muscle problem. So what I did was I used what I used on myself, my personal therapy system I'd just come up with on my own, on these folks, hoping that it would help them at least rehabilitate some core strength and their injuries recovered. Mm-hmm. So I had found a path to help people recover from diastasis recti completely unknowing. Mm-hmm. And so then my career path took another turn. So now I am known as the person that helps women recover from diastasis recti. That's what I wrote my book on. I have a course and a series on that as well. And so you never know, right? Your own personal struggles and recoveries and processes become the business and become your way to serve the world. And so that's where I am today.
So, which is fascinating because I actually do know very, very little about that, but it was during some prenatal visits that I was made aware, you know, of that. But fortunately for me, they said that they were surprised to see that mine held up as well as, I mean, because I didn't have any issue with it. They're like, wow, usually we see a lot more gap, especially if you've had a couple of children. So fortunately, I didn't have a situation that it needed to be repaired, but it's prevalent. It is prevalent. Mm-hmm. And it's abdominal. So, I mean, a lot of our core strength is abdominal as well, which all that ties in so that, you know, women out there that maybe they feel like their core strength just is not up to what they want it to be or what they feel like it should be might want to have that checked or have a conversation with you. You know, yeah. I mean, that would be helpful too. But as far as getting to this point in your entrepreneurial journey, how did you learn to get out of your own way and let the process and the story in your life really guide you to where you're at and trust that more?
That has been such a struggle for me. And especially when I was recovering from those issues, postnatal issues, post-surgery issues, and being in the fitness industry, that I held myself back big time because I had all these stories playing in my head that I had to be perfect and look perfect and be perfect and everything work perfectly, or I wasn't going to be the leader and the model that people needed me to be. Mm-hmm. So I didn't talk about it for a long time. And I really, really struggled there. I remember being really embarrassed by it and trying to hide behind my clothes and not wanting to talk about it for a long time until the day that I decided to check other people and the day that I decided, you know what, if this worked for me, let me at least try it on people that are right here in my own community and just see what happens. And it changed their lives. And then I said, who am I to hold other people back? I don't care about holding myself back. Who am I to hold other people back from recovering from this or from going down the same path that I went down, which was not a healthy one? Right. I could carve a new path for folks. Who am I to not do that for them? And that felt to be against my ethics. Mm-hmm. My ethics are very strong on integrity. And so I felt like not for me, but for them, I had to at least be honest about the story and help them change theirs. But I kept it to a very small community for a long time. We moved here to Austin in 2013. And around 2014 or so, about a year later, I remember my husband saying to me, when are you going to share this with everybody else? Because I had just been sort of keeping it in my little small community. And we're in an era now where communication is worldwide.
Right.
So, you know, he posed that to me as, you're being selfish. When are you going to turn this into something that other people can use? Because you know that it's not just the women in your own community. You know, every community is impacted by this. So what I did from that was I made 3 short videos and I put them with instructions on like a 2-page PDF. I mean, it was like so basic, but it was the basic beginning of how I helped people. And I went on a mom's group and I said, hey, I'm going to try this out to my first 200 people that want to try it and see if it helps them. So I sent it out to my first 200 people and I start getting these emails back. Oh my gosh, it just floored me. I got emails from all over the world thanking me for saving their lives, that they had no idea that they had a problem until they read my material. And now their life is different and they can start sharing this great news and how excited they were. I was completely blown away. I got pictures back of women who, you know, went from being scrunched down and obviously uncomfortable in their posture to standing up and feeling great. And their tummies were flat and toned in beautiful condition. I couldn't believe it. So mm-hmm. that little thing became my first little system that I started selling as an online PDF for $10. And it went nuts. It turned into a modeled system and then it turned into a book, but that was sort of the catalyst of all of it was my husband saying, why are you being so selfish? Share this with other people. And, I can thank him for that.
So you have had an online PDF that did make money. You've written a book, you have a course. How do you define success where you're at in your entrepreneurial journey?
I define success by other people's success. Honestly, mm-hmm. I define success by the people that have persevered, used any amount of my information and made life change with it. And then that I help and mentor other people to teach other people. And so the ripple effect to me is success. That's the level of success.
Mm-hmm. So what, in writing your book, what was the most vulnerable thing that you felt you were bringing to the table that you kind of had to spend some time to work through?
All of it was definitely a big project. As anybody that's ever written a book can tell you, you walk into it thinking, I'm just going to write all this down and it's going to be great. And you get into it and it is a huge process. And you can't just write a method book like mine without story, I don't think. So writing out my story, which is chapter 2, is gut-wrenching, and it was really hard to do. And I cried my way through it. And I still cry when I go back and read it. And a lot of my readers do too. And also the process in that book of getting other women's stories. I have little tiny sections where other women have told their stories, which was a beautiful process to do, but also sort of reliving struggles of other people as well. The rest of it sort of flows because that's how I teach. But right. But that was definitely the hardest part. And then the release of the book, when you realize that people are reading it, that's hard.
Yeah. What does it feel like now that you have it live and it's been out for a little bit? How long has it been?
A year.
Yeah. So what does it feel like now? Were you able to overcome that a little bit more and just now it's just a part of your life, a part of your journey?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I would say the release section was difficult in the mm-hmm. beginning. And now it's like, hey, it's me. Here's my book. This is what I do.
Yeah. What strengths do you lean on as an entrepreneur?
Well, my internal strength is simply perseverance. Mm-hmm. And I guess I've always had that sense of perseverance and just making a decision about something and going all in, and really going for it. I've leaned heavily on that. I think that I just like probably every entrepreneur that you talk to, it's like you take a step and you can't see what the next step is. It's totally dark, and the trust to take the next step anyway. That's been a struggle for me, but I've done it. And so I guess that would be a strength rather than turn around and running the other way with my tail between my legs, which is, you know, it's something that's always in the back of your mind. True. That you can always True. Just run away. But then I think, well, if I run away, who am I really? Because I Right. really have to, I feel very, very compelled to do what I'm doing. I feel like I don't have any other choice but to do what I'm doing because it needs to come out of me in some way, or I would just feel like I would feel devalued if I didn't. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's really what has driven me. I have fantastic friends, colleagues, and family too. And that doesn't, you know, that doesn't hurt. That helps a lot.
Absolutely. You have to have your circle. You have to have them somewhere, your tribe somewhere too, because you lean on them for sure. Have you run into imposter syndrome at any point in this journey?
Oh, of course.
Tell me about that.
Oh my goodness. Who am I to lead anything? Who am I to teach? I was the girl that got the surgery. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about imposter. Like, who am I to teach anybody how to do this when I didn't do it that way? I did later, but I didn't do it that way the first time. So for a long time, I was like, yeah, I was holding myself back, and my husband, you know, called me out on it, but I held myself back because I thought that I had to have gotten it right the first time. And mm-hmm. I didn't. I messed mm-hmm. up a lot. My mistakes are important now, and I have to just keep reminding myself of that. But I also don't have a PhD. So I don't have all the fancy things on the wall. I have certifications, but I'm not a doctor. And, you know, and so that thought of, oh, you know, you can't take this kind of physical therapy advice
right.
from somebody who's not a doctor, that has run around in my head too. But then again, doctors, when they get my book, very supportive of what I'm doing. There are several doctors in the area that carry my book, which I appreciate very, very much. And they understand that I've specialized in this, where they haven't. They've specialized in the medicine side of things.
Mm-hmm. Right. So then how did you bridge that gap with not feeling the imposter syndrome, even though you didn't have maybe the PhD or some? How did you bridge that and have those conversations with the doctors and kind of collaborate on what you teach and having your book available in their office?
Yeah, that was really hard. I think it's one step at a time. And I think it's a whole lot of personal development. I am a big fan of like Brené Brown mm-hmm. and Mel Robbins and Rachel Hollis and people that recognize that we all have these certain gifts that we are compelled to give to the world. and that we all have these paths that are interwoven that sometimes don't make all the logical sense of the certain steps that other people have taken. And then the first doctor in the area that wanted to carry my book and wanted to talk to me about it actually reached out to me. He followed me on Instagram, random. What doctor's on Instagram? I don't know. He is.
Yeah.
But he is a doctor that happens to also really be into fitness and reached out to me and wanted to know more about my work. And we collaborated on some things, and now his office carries the book, and he's been a great supporter. So then I brought it to a couple other offices, and of course, midwives and doulas, they're, mm-hmm. They're great. So the birthing centers and the natural birthing centers around the area I've collaborated with as well. And they're a little bit more open and understanding to non-traditional paths for healing.
Right. Do you believe that we're in a time frame where we have to stop trying to put everything in a logical box and be open more to the options that do exist out there in healing the body like you're talking about, in business entrepreneurship in general, but just across the board? Do you feel like there's just this need, overwhelming need, to just kind of negate the logic a little bit? I mean, there's always a place and time for it, but I think we too heavily lean on that.
Gosh, the world is changing faster than we can keep up with. Mm-hmm. And I do think that as culture, society, as a world, we're starting to maybe understand a little bit better that the human condition is not a straight arrow and that it's very fluid. And that we do all have these certain things that maybe come out of nowhere, don't make any sense at first, like the gifting or certain intelligences or what have you. And yeah, I have children. They're 15 and 10. We have to think about things like future of education and where they'll go with their career paths, because it's changing so quickly. You have to think, when I was coming along in the early 90s, the path was high school, college, graduate, get a job. That was it. Yeah. And now that is like, you can go in any direction at any time. In fact, my 10-year-old has an Etsy business. So there's no time frame for when you're allowed to have a business or when you're supposed to go to a certain school in a certain way. There is learning and applying knowledge at any age in any direction, and it can even change, and that's okay. I love mm-hmm. that people now change direction many times in their lives. They don't feel like they have to, sit in a corner office for 30 years to get their pension. Like, you can go in any direction at any time, and it might be something completely unexpected, but it brings you joy.
Right. It's fulfilling.
Yes. And aren't we all here to serve each other? So doesn't that make a lot more sense than just separating work life, nose to the grindstone, and can't wait to get out of this job and retire so that I can live my life? That doesn't really make any sense anymore.
Right. So then what do you teach your daughter? Because if she has an Etsy shop and she's entrepreneurial and she's working towards that, how do you promote her being an entrepreneur at such an early age?
It's her. And I think it's her because she's seen it. Her father is a realtor and I own a business. Mm-hmm. So what she's seen is her parents doing things that are of our own thought, of our own creation, and within service to others. And she knows that we own businesses. So I think that she's always just thought, why not me? Why can't I do that too? Where's the first place that I can have a business, Mom? I mean, she's always asked me that. When can I start a lemonade stand? When can I start taking care of animals? When can I sell something online? When can I have my YouTube channel? She knows I have a YouTube channel. So why not her? Mm-hmm. And I've never said that she couldn't. So why not?
Right. Do you feel like there's maybe an opportunity for her to not have to work through so much of the layers that maybe you or myself have had to overcome because of how we were raised differently versus the era that she's in at this point?
I do. I think that her school treats entrepreneurship differently. Like they have thought leadership classes at school now, and they talk more about creating things now at school that we weren't really exposed to. And then there's the whole difference in where higher education is going. Mm-hmm. And instead of just saying, I'm going to go to such and such a school and study such and such, we can talk about other possibilities and different ways to go about adulthood. And the fact that we all need services that have nothing to do with a four-year degree.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, I feel like the landscape is definitely changing, but I feel like it's kind of in an era where we're having to write the story as it's changing. But I don't think that's different for, you know, any time in history that's been, you know, evolving. But how has the entrepreneurial journey changed you?
I remember the day I was in my school classroom, and I remember the day that I was looking at my retirement points and realizing I was going to be in that classroom for 30 more years. I was going to follow the path that I was on. And that's a lifetime to me. My kids were going to be well past grown. I was probably going to be a grandparent. I mean, I looked at all of that and went, do I really want to be here every single day, 7 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon, and then go do what I love to do, which is teach women fitness? Do I really want to do that for 30 more years? And I thought, I don't think I have to do this. I don't think that that system should be able to control me and what I should be doing in this world.
What was the trigger for that thought? Do you know?
I think it had been coming for a while. Mm-hmm. I think I'm a bit of a rebel, and that I really, really like freedom. Mm-hmm. And I really like to control things like my time and my energy. Mm-hmm. I think it had been coming for a while. And I think that day was kind of like a Groundhog Day, where I was teaching the same darn lesson again. And it wasn't that I didn't like school. Don't get me wrong. School teachers, I love you. Yes. And I loved teaching school, and I loved my students. And there's not a day that went by that was a waste, but I'd gotten to the point in my career where I wasn't really going to go anywhere else. It's going to be in that classroom for 30 more years. And I thrive on personal growth. And so I guess it's selfish, but for me, it was like, I can't just stay on this level for 30 more years. There's just got to be something else for me to serve the world in a different way. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your book. What was that? What's the title?
The title is Flatten My Postpartum Belly. The reason it's titled that is because that is what a lot of women are searching for that don't have the answer yet. And I am that answer. So hopefully that people can find the answer within my book. It is not a tough read at all. It does have story in it, but it also has my techniques in it. And it has a video series that goes along with it. So within the book, you get the video series and you can read and follow along with me so that you can self-heal.
So for any of the listeners that are listening to this conversation are like, oh my gosh, I have that. What is one tip that you would tell them that they could start to work on to work outside of getting your book and getting all the goods inside of that? What is something they could take away today and just be like, gosh, that's a win?
It is really the very, very beginning. My very first lesson is about alignment, like physical alignment. And today I did an Instagram post about the fact that I don't just talk about physical alignment anymore. There's a whole lot of alignment that I talk about, but it does, the healing process starts with physical alignment. And most of us have lost it somewhere along the way. Meaning that the top of your head is over your ears, is over your shoulders, is over your rib cage, is over the top of your hip bone, is over the thigh bone. That's a literal line. That's what we're supposed to be shaped like. And for most of us, either we're rolled forward, our head is forward, the shoulders are forward, or we are jutting our hips forward and our shoulders are too far back and we're sort of pushing our bellies forward. One of those two things has happened, and it seems to be exacerbated during pregnancy because our gravity shifts.
Right.
So then we've got probably, you know, many, many years of not sitting and standing correctly multiplied by a pregnancy. So then we have to correct alignment. Gosh, it sounds so easy, right? Oh, I'll just stand up straight like my mom right. told me to do. It's extremely uncomfortable at first. So a lot of times the first interaction I have with my reader is the email that says, oh my gosh, this is so hard. My upper back is sore from standing up straight. Is it always going to be this way? And I say, no, you just have to, it's kind of like your bones have been set incorrectly for so long that you literally are resetting your bones, which means that your muscles have to sit differently.
Right.
And your muscles get sore from doing that. After they get over it and they're back all in place, doesn't hurt anymore. But those first few days is extremely uncomfortable. And that's the hurdle that we get over to get to, you know, true healing.
Excellent.
Boy,
excellent.
That's a metaphor for life, isn't it?
Yeah. Excellent advice. True healing, yes. At its very core. Ah.
So many metaphors.
So tell us, where can the audience find you, connect with you to continue the conversation?
It's really easy to find me. I'm Carrie Fitt, and I spell my first name like Princess Leia does. So it's CarrieFitt. And so that's CarrieFitt.com, Carrie Fitt on Instagram, Carrie Fitt on Facebook, Carrie Fitt on YouTube, everywhere. So, but my website's a great place to go to see who I am, to just kind of see my different methods that I offer. And I have ways to contact me there as well.
Excellent. Carrie, I want to thank you for coming on today and sharing this information with the listeners, because it is important. And I know that so many of us women don't want to have that belly that's sticking out and have tried so many different ways to get rid of it, thinking it is fat, and it's not. And so having a solution out there and championing for that solution, no matter how you came to that solution, what your story is, that makes it even more powerful. So thank you for doing that work. And thank you for having that space for being that specific. And truth be told, that is, you are the epitome of being niched in the proper space.
Oh, thank you.
That is so very specific. And I want to make sure that I recognize very briefly, but recognize the listeners that is an example of a niche. That is knowing specifically who your target clients are, and also naming a book that addresses the problem in the reader's eyes, what they think that the problem is, not trying for you to put some scientific terms on what it is, where everybody's like, oh, I don't have that problem. I don't know what it is. You know, you're addressing it exactly what it is. So bravo.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for raising a future entrepreneur. I have some of those myself. So I love to hear those stories. But if you have any time, guys, definitely check out the links that Carrie has here. Have the conversation, move forward in addressing those problems that you think that you have. And let's break down those walls and make sure that we are moving in this world much more strong, much more purposeful, and with ease. And as always, keep moving forward.
Thanks for listening to the Fem Nation podcast. Be sure to check out our show notes for more details from the episode. If you love the show, share it with a friend or drop me a note. I'd love to hear from you over at whitedovegannon.com or find me on social media. Until next time, keep moving forward.